That was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it? Here we are.
What was the surprise?
Oh, I just thought I'd start it as soon as I heard you come on, and there you were. So here we are.
That's amazing. That's incredible. Hello, Phyllis.
How are you?
Hello, Phyllis. How's New Zealand going? Yeah, I'm well.
Pretty cool.
I'm well.
Pretty alright. We had earthquakes
over here.
I noticed. You've had a few.
Yeah, two. I thought we had one last night, but I think it was a cat that jumped on the roof.
Oh, okay. Well, here's hoping you don't have any, don't experience anything like we have. Rightio.
No, exactly.
Let's get into it. Come on.
All right, so tonight, you know what I've done? I've pushed the wrong button, and I've got to go back in to the control panel.
It's all right. Well, I'm in here, so...
You have to start it.
I have. It's all done. We're live and rolling.
Who have we got there? I can't see.
Well, nobody's typed hello, so that's awesome. So let's just go later on.
That's not very nice, is it? That's not very nice. All right. Well,
alrighty.
The topic for tonight is, of course, real food, not shakes. And the reason why I say that is because I met somebody the other day, and I was disturbed by it, because this lady, who probably at the time weighed in at around about 140, maybe 150 kilos, said that she's been doing a shake a couple of times a day, but she's feeling amazing. And I said, what do you mean amazing? She goes, oh, well, I'm losing weight and I feel fantastic. I go, well, what do you mean I feel fantastic? And she said, well, I just feel good because I'm losing weight. And I said, what about your energy? She goes, oh, I'm really tired. And I said, well, you're really tired because you're not actually eating food. You're just taking in shakes. And if you're just taking in shakes, then, of course, that's not real food. And the energy that you're getting is fuel energy, not energy that would come from the food that you would normally eat. And so she kind of took a little while to kind of understand that. But what I was shocked about, and I suppose not shocked, it's really just that disappointed about, is that people turn to shakes as a means of, I suppose, curbing appetite or replacing a meal without any kind of credence given to the quality of the food that's actually going into their body. And really, at the end of the day, it's the quality of the food, not the quantity of food that goes in that makes the difference and determines your outcome. So we look at people like Johnny, who's getting amazing results, you know, has lost 15 kilos in the last 5 weeks, really smashing it. They're unusual results. They're amazing results. I've seen them before. They're not common, but they're an excellent example of actually sticking to the program and eating great food. And so I congratulate you and Julie, you know, Johnny's partner, great results as well. Sharon, amazing results. You know, I'm starting to see these incredible results coming through, and it's all because you're eating good food, not because you're eating or you're drinking shakes. And the important thing is that you should be feeling more energetic, you should be sleeping more efficiently, you should be waking with more zest, and getting through your day less hungry. The thing I want to talk about tonight, I suppose, is that this only takes place if you're eating real food and not if you're faking it. If you're faking it, your body's going to catch up, it's going to take you down, and you won't feel good in the long term. Have you had that experience before, Phyllis? Have you used shakes before to help you with your health?
Oh, in a many, many, you know, moons ago in a way, way, way past life. I think, too, that maybe what people experience is a little bit of confusion, too, because if they turn to a shake or some other, you know, unusual way of losing weight, they might, in a sense, feel good because the weight's actually starting to shift. But if you're going to only have, you know, limited calories in a day and limited food intake, you lose weight term. So it's kind of a vicious circle because you feel good initially because you have some form of success, and especially if you feel like you've been banging your head against the wall. And the other thing that I think happens is there's so much advertising on TV for this program, that program, that you know, if people are being told, because some people question us about a real food, what are we getting? It's like, well, you're actually getting science and knowledge and, you know, the best options for your body. But if they get something in a box, they feel like they've been given something. And I don't know, that comes back from our childhood. So it's kind of a catch-22 because initially you'll feel great, and then, of course, once you stop, it all goes back on, and then you feel terrible, and then you look for the next thing. So even those people who have put weight back on, you still know that real food that makes you feel good on the inside is ultimately what. So that's kind of my tip.
Yeah, it is interesting. I also see people, you know, snacking on protein bars as their meals instead of having some nuts and some fruit. Or I hear about people wanting some kind of cookie or something that's a low-carb cookie. And I spoke to this guy, actually. I did a fascinating, actually, the other night on the Wellness Guys, I did this call with a guy who has lost over 150 kilograms by doing the Atkins diet. He's been doing the Atkins for 8 years. And he has totally restricted his whole lifestyle, but he eats heaps of fat and heaps of protein, very, very little carbohydrate, even in the form of fruits and vegetables, really struggles to eat it and is actually quite fearful of it. It was very, very interesting. And, you know, there's no need to go to those sorts of extremes to bring about a great health result. It's worked for him because he's created a business out of it. And now he has to stay slim, because he's in the public eye in the States and he's lost so much weight. But you don't have to go to those extremes to actually, you know, get those results. You know, to the extent that now he eats more food that's processed than actually living real food, he's now starting to make a shift towards more living foods, more primal in terms of his behavior, which is exactly what everyone's doing on the 112-day challenge, eating primal foods, foods that our ancestors used to eat, foods that your grandmother can pronounce. That's the sort of stuff that you want to be eating. But, you know, it saddens me that still out there people are eating or looking for snacks that are highly processed and, you know, for the most part, very, very carbohydrate dense and nutrient poor.
And it was interesting you say that because it was a good probably year or maybe a little bit longer ago, and I was in a social event, and one of the ladies there had lost a lot of weight, and she'd also again created a business out of it. But it was again by strict, you know, serious restriction. And the interesting thing is, we went out for dinner, and I saw her in the corner mixing things up and putting them on in her meal, but doing it, you know, very covertly. I don't know what it was. I really felt like asking, but her body language was, you know, covering it up and didn't want people knowing. And I thought, you know, I wonder what that is. You know, I wonder what she's putting in there. You know, doing things under weird. The table. So, very weird, very weird. So, yeah, be careful about, you know, I suppose building beliefs around things too. You know, if I don't do this, then I'll have that. And if I do this, I won't have that. You know, it is about enjoying the experience of eating, and that comes from real food as well.
Mm-hmm. That's it. I don't know where you could actually sneak into your food or add into your food that are actually going to bring about any kind of extra benefit?
Well,
you know what I mean? What could you add to your food?
I don't know. It looks manufactured, and to this day I'm still always curious. So, Jamie, you mentioned a couple of people at the beginning about their weight loss, and we've got a few people on the challenge. Hayley's just Skyped me a few, and because I haven't asked permission, Tracy, I know you're on the call. Shamila's just finishing. You know, there's 12 kilos, 10.2, 9.6, 9.8, and some of these are during their weight loss. So, you know, although, you know, the larger end might be, you know, not always the norm, those numbers are definitely consistent if people are putting in the time. So, you know.
Absolutely. Isn't that cool? I love that. Congratulations to all those people that are losing so much weight and getting healthy at the same time, which is really, really important. So, you know, it's not so much about losing the weight as it is to get healthy. And, of course, if you get healthy, you lose the weight, and that's important. Has anybody typed in any questions yet? I just will check now.
I'm just going to refresh.
That's really nice of you, Tracy. Yep. No questions.
That must be the finest thing. No question. Alrighty. What else are we going to talk about then? So we've covered the shakes and things. Anybody got any questions about
them? We have covered
them?
The shakes. Yeah, it would be good actually. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do there's a couple of programs out there where they use little sachets of shakes, you know, so you get you buy these little sachets of shakes for like $2 for a shake, and you know, really what you're buying is skim milk powder that's been flavoured. And so you're eating skim milk powder, it's been flavoured, it's not good for you, is just skim milk, which is just the cruddy, crappy stuff that's in milk anyway. And it's just been flavoured with something. It's generally not a natural flavouring, usually some kind of synthetic flavouring. And that becomes your filler. But many people on this program will have done those sorts of things. And we do see people out and about, you know, doing that and just wasting the money. And I reckon you're far better off buying organic produce than getting those shake things. Just a funny thing. There's a lot of programs out there that would sell you, even, you know, dare I say it, my dearly loved, beloved, Metagenics flog powders. And I just don't think that you need to flog powders for people to get healthy. It's not about filling your guts up. It's actually about understanding what your body's telling you when you've got hunger, or understand what your body's telling you when you need to eat a meal, or understand what your body's telling you when, you know, you start to lose the weight. What are you learning by taking a shake? Not much. It's just satisfying another craving until you get sick of that one, and then you've got to move on to the next one. So you're better off actually finding strategies like having your nuts and your seeds and a bit of fruit, having plenty of water, drinking some cups of tea, and, you know, ensuring that your bowels are moving properly, staying well hydrated, and you're not going to be hungry. Your body will adapt and it will adjust and come back into good health.
I've got a couple of questions coming by Skype. So can you explain why fats are a better source of fuel opposed to carbs? This person's had this debate with their personal trainer when he's trying to push carbs.
Yeah, well, let's just say that to start off with, personal trainers shouldn't be giving nutritional advice. They're, for the most part, the most personal trainers have done about 12 months worth of training. And potentially, some personal trainers have only done about 6 months. They get fed the food pyramid, so they get taught the food pyramid. And the food pyramid's an unhealthful way to eat. It's not healthy, it's not good. And if you've watched your Palm method, that will explain the reason why the food pyramid's no good. So you could actually explain that to your personal trainer. But in terms of efficiency of fuel, your fats per gram will deliver twice the amount of calories that a carbohydrate will. Which means that you know, in weight measurements, you would actually eat less in terms of mass. But also, when you eat fat, you help to manufacture certain types of hormones within the body, because your body requires fat to manufacture hormones, and without fat, you can't manufacture hormones. So you actually need to eat fat. If you eat carbohydrate, if you don't get rid of all your carbohydrate fuel from your meals, then you'll store it. And the challenge of storing your carbohydrates is that where you're storing it is in your fat cells. And you can't do anything else with carbohydrates if you don't burn it. So you're just going to store it. You get fatter. You will get tighter. And it serves you not at all to eat lots of carbohydrate to try and keep yourself going. You're better off eating extra fat in your meal, and it will give you greater levels of satiety and satisfaction. And get you through your next meal. That's why I suggest you eat nuts between your meals, because you actually feel fuller on nuts without eating too much food, whereas you'd have to have, you know, maybe a couple of slices of bread or a croissant or a muffin or something to get some degree of satisfaction if you're eating carbohydrates. If you're eating fruits, then, of course, that's going to be high in carbohydrate or high in carbohydrate too. It's just slightly unbalanced. So if you had some fruit and some nuts, get some degree of balance, which is what this whole program is about. It's finding balance, eating protein, fat, and carbohydrate every single meal, and understanding what that does to your body in terms of its energy distribution and your fuel expenditure. And then, of course, the results on the scales and the results with your body health.
Second question, the L-carnitine, what do you think and how do you feel about that for someone who's
L-carnitine?
Yes.
L-carnitine's good. Yeah, L-carnitine's good. It can assist with burning more fuel. If you want to do that, you can certainly do that. I'm not opposed to taking extra amino acids, but I'd generally only use extra amino acids if there's a race on. You know, if you're in a particular hurry to burn the fat, then I'd give you some extra L-carnitine. But if you're not in any particular hurry to just get the fat off, then you might as well just eat good food and just get the results the way in which your body would desire you get the results, which is according to your body. So if you lose 600 grams in a week, that's what your body wanted to do. If you lose 3 kilos in a week, that's what your body wanted to do. You can't force your body to do things it doesn't want to do. It just won't do it. And that's, of course, what a plateau is. Your body goes into a plateau when it gets too stressed. It takes a little bit of time for the body to get out of stress. And of course, you won't burn fat while you're stressed. So You know, don't stress out if your body's, you know, not burning what you think you should be burning. It will only burn what it can burn. So, you know, give it a rest, give it a break. You may not need to take any extra L-carnitine if what I've just said makes sense to you.
Next question is from Tracy. She said, hi guys, is paprika a spice we could use in cooking? I can't see it on any types list. Is it omitted for a reason, or maybe you've just not thought of it?
Yeah, I just didn't think of it, Tracy. You could definitely have paprika. That'd be great. In fact, really good at this time of the year, putting paprika on your chicken or on your fish. It's beautiful. Putting it in your curries. Lovely thing to do. I like it.
Great.
Get into it.
Awesome. All right. I've just refreshed and I'm caught up to date on the questions.
All right.
Oh, actually, another one. Right. Sorry, by Skype. Hold on. One more. So a challenger has asked, what's the problem with soy? She's been on the challenge for 6 weeks and never knew that soy wasn't good. She's been drinking soy lattes. We need to add this to the website, Hayley, because it's a common question.
Look, you can have soy if you want to. In many cases, I've suggested that people shouldn't have coffee, or that, you know, if they're going to have coffee, just one coffee a day. And having a soy latte is not going to be, it's not going to kill you, put it that way. It just may stop you or slow you from getting the results that you desire. And look, if you're happy with the results that you're getting and you're fitting in a soy latte, then don't stress too much about it. My concern is that with soy, it has a phytoestrogenic effect on the body. And for some women in particular, and usually women who have tender breasts around their period, or they have a painful period, or they have weight on their hips and thighs, those women are generally estrogen dominant, estrogen sensitive. There's too much estrogen in their body. And as a result, it's good to avoid consuming more estrogenic rich products. For example, soy or inorganic chicken or, you know, herbs that would increase estrogen, for example, black cohosh. So you just got to be a little bit careful of it. This is where you need, you know, soy is good as edamame, as the actual soy bean. It's great. Or soy is good when it's being fermented, for example, like in tofu or tempeh. You know, particular tempeh is quite good, or miso. You know, those sorts of things tend to be fine. But it's when you're having soy turned into products that's kind of not really meant to be, for example, a milk. It's all concentrated, and you tend to get too much of that phytoestrogenic effect, and it can be challenging. So, look, if you're happy with your results and you think that it's all good and you don't want any more from it, then have a soy latte. If you're now concerned about soy, then you're better off having cow's milk. You know, have a bit of cow's milk. That's also not going to kill you. And cow's milk is less likely to slow your fat loss down, and it's probably a bit better for you. And if you really want to go hardcore in your... and you're happy having coffee by itself, like having a macchiato or a short black or a long black, then do that and get your little chemical hit from the caffeine, and then your neurological stimulus to move your bowels from the caffeine, just without having the milk, and that can be perfectly fine for you.
Okay,
what I would say though,
what
I would say is that if you are stressed and you've got a lot of stress in your life, then I would stay away from caffeine if you're stressed. Like if you know the health questionnaires, if you're ticking every single box, if you've been ticking all those boxes in the stress area, then I would stay away from caffeine because it's more likely to make you more stressed.
And the trouble, I think, with that too, is then it's one of those cycles where you're using it to relieve stress, but it's actually increasing your stress, so you know, start to be dependent on it for a pick me up.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Tracy said after last week's call, I jumped online and ordered myself the Purely Golden Door cookbook. It's arrived today. It's really interesting. Thanks for mentioning it. Tracy, you have to share any recipes that fit into the 112. That'd be perfect. All right. I'm just refreshing with one more.
Keep it a secret, Tracy. Keep it a secret. Keep it all to yourself. Hog it. That's great. No, there's so many wonderful recipes in there, some awesome recipes. A lot of the sauces and the marinades and those sorts of things that are in there are excellent. You know, they actually fit into the 112-day challenge. It is quite a good recipe book to get.
Cool. Well, I would like a recipe. You can sneak it to me, Tracy. Donna from Wellington is back. So some people are joining us to do re-challenge because it's our very last time. So that's awesome. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Someone might have
Welcome
asked
back,
us
Donna.
Before she said, She said, someone might have asked this before, but as I'm just returning, wanted to ask, what do you think of the new lactose-free milk from Anchor? I've been getting my local cafe to use it in a decaf cappuccino once a day. Also, are dates any good for body type 4? Oh, going on a date or... Oh, no, sorry, it was a date. That was my joke.
You're so funny, Follows. Good one. Hey, well, Donna, I always say that you should eat real food. And the more you remove from a food product, the less it is real. And so the more you remove the lactose from a particular product, if you're taking lactose out of a product, either you're just trying to decrease its sugar content, which, you know, there's not a whole lot of sugar in milk anyway, or you're sensitive to the lactose in the milk, in which case you probably shouldn't have milk anyway. So just leave it out of your diet. And I would say have a real coffee. You know, don't go the decaf option. Have the real coffee. It's, you know, decaf, in some cases they water decaffeinate it. They use steam to decaffeinate it. But often they use chemicals to decaffeinate it. And again, just going back to what is real and what is natural and what actually naturally occurs, you're better off having the coffee bean. It's coffee bean. It's been ground. It's been, you know, because water's been passed through it, and all of a sudden you've got a tea-like or a tea that's come from a bean, and it has an effect on your body. And that's just, you know, what you should be doing is experiencing or expecting some degree of effect on your body after having something like that. So don't go decaf. Just do the real stuff. And in terms of dates, just be careful. If you're using dates to move your bowels, no problems. Have a couple of dates. That's not going to hurt you. If it's dates just as a snack, I'd be cautious of it because of the sugar content. They're pretty high in sugar, so just be careful. But you know, dates aren't bad for you. They can just stop you from achieving what you want. But if you're using it as a functional food, and that is to get your bowels moving, you know, have a couple of dates. See if that helps you out.
Cool. Great. All right, I'm just refreshing, seeing if there's any more questions. Gone quiet.
Yeah.
All righty. Oops, here comes another one by Skype. Hold on. Oh, no, it's not. I'll ignore that one. Okay.
All right. So, what? You know, there's not a whole lot happening in the world of nutrition at the moment. Everything seems to be relatively stagnant. And what we're seeing is a big shift and a big movement towards all things paleo at the moment. And I think that the key thing to be doing when it comes to food is to be eating primal. And Mark Sisson was one of the guys who interviewed on the Wellness Guys, and he talks about that. He talks about primal in your approach to food. And so primal means getting back to nature. The other thing that I think is okay and not bad for people is to look at your evolutionary cycles. And so much of what I've done through my nutrition training has revolved around what Dr. Peter D'Adamo spoke about, and that's the blood typing. And so if we look at scales and levels of evolution, if we look at body type A, B, and O, with those blood types indicate a degree of evolution by the human species. And that actually, believe it or not, allows us to eat various different foods. And so the blood type information that is out there, you can see it on the internet, it looks similar to what we've got in the 112-day challenge. It's not the same. I've altered it because I've noticed other things when it comes to body types that's different to blood type. But you will notice that there is some uncanny familiarity to the foods that you feel better on according to your blood type, and you'll see that on the internet. It's quite amazing. The reason why I'm saying this is because there is a tendency for people to go into, I suppose, extreme measures of dieting or of lifestyle change, and we've seen that with keto. So we've seen people go into ketosis, and that's incredibly challenging on people's bodies. We've seen it with veganism. Veganism is another degree of extreme diet. We look at vegetarianism, and of course that is also another degree of extreme dieting. And to some extent, some people take paleo a little bit too far. And that was that guy that I interviewed the other night on the Wellness Guys. He's just taken a little bit too far, you know, to the extent that he does get into ketosis. And there's no need to take your body into ketosis. You can eat primal or paleo. and in this case, in your case, 112-day challenge, and get, you know, amazing results without going too extreme. And I'd ask you not to go too extreme and to keep some degree of balance in your life, because the flip side to extreme is the other extreme. And so if you do go too hardcore in one direction, you're likely to go too hardcore in the other direction, which is your rebound. And of course, that's even more challenging on your body and less helpful. So what I'm trying to say is to find a common ground, aim for 80-20, and keep some degree of sensibility about it, rather than actually trying to go 100% and maybe going too far with things. So even, you know, I suppose it's just a caution, because as we get closer to the end of the last 112-day challenge, it is important for you to frame and to build a lifestyle around your food, and the 112-day challenge meal plans should form the foundation for what you're going to eat moving forward. But also be guided by some of the great information out there from Rob Wolf and Lauren Cordain and Peter Diadamo, Dr. Barry Sears. You know, these are the guys that really, you know, bring great information to the table about food and nutrition. So you should be considering other things to build around your 112-day challenge program.
Two more questions. Donna's asked, talking about fad diets, what about coconut water? And the second one was, is there a limit to the amount of ginger and lemon drinks you can drink in a day?
You probably don't need to drink a whole lot of ginger and lemon drink. You know, it's probably, you know, once or twice or three times a day just before a meal is probably enough. You don't need to do much more than that. But if you really love it, then go for gold. It's not going to hurt you by any stretch of the imagination. But you're better off hydrating just with straight plain water. That's the best way to go. And then, Donna, with regards to coconut water, it is a highly nutritious water. And I was actually asked to endorse coconut water in New Zealand. But I didn't want to endorse a food product because it's a food product that it just makes sense. So I kind of wanted people just to go, yep, it makes sense to me that you would have something that's naturally rich in nutrition. That's a good idea. Why don't I go for that? Rather than actually me encouraging people to go and do it. It's one of those things that I think is just, it's a no-brainer. I think that people can have coconut water and feel quite good from it and feel safe that you're doing a good thing. There's certainly nothing wrong with coconut water. I don't think it's a fad. I think it'll stick around. I think it's a discovery that offers a lot of nutrition, kind of like aloe vera. You know, there was a period of time where aloe vera, a lot of people were having a lot of aloe vera juice, and of course that did provide a lot of benefit for a lot of people. A lot of people have actually dropped off the whole aloe vera bandwagon. I don't think coconut water will have that same drop off. I think it's one of those good things. But you can't beat just real normal water.
Damien, could you just read out the names of the people that you listed off, the good guys with Food Insight?
Sure. Lauren Cordain, Rob Wolf, Mark Sisson, Peter Diadamo, Dr. Barry Sears. The other ones I said, I think. I don't think I said anybody else.
Wolf.
That's probably the way to go. Dr. Damien Christoph. He'd be good to listen to.
Yeah.
That'd be a good
All righty.
One day.
9 o'clock. Any more
o'clock.
Questions?
That went really fast, didn't it? There wasn't a lot of questions tonight. You know, it's a shame because the more questions we get, the better the conversation. And so, you know, if you've got questions and you leave them go by the wayside, we don't get a chance to talk about it. So whenever we get the chance to do a call, you know, try and fire away, ask heaps of questions. And there's so many people that are on this challenge currently. It'll be great to have a lot more questions through. But if that's all the questions I've got for tonight, then let's call it a night. And thanks, everybody. Congratulations to everybody who's working hard and getting great results. And, you know, don't expect your change to be linear. Life's not linear. It moves in ebbs and flows. And we know that by the cycles of the moon and the sun. We definitely know that. If all we ever had was a 24-hour day, it'd be very, very boring. We have different amounts every single day. So don't expect 1 kilo every single week.
Awesome. Alrighty. Great call.
Thanks, Phyllis.
See you next
week.
It's
been nice to chat with you and your delay.
Thanks.
It's been great. So have a great week, and well, are you going to do the audio out, or am I going to do that? You have to do it. You're recording. I'll catch you later.
Okay. I'll do it. See ya.
See ya.